welcome to the Medicine Box, where we get you all things pharma and healthcare. I'm Ekta Bhatra. Today we have with us an Indian pharma company that has rebranded itself after almost 3 decades, 27 years. A company that is ranked 4th in the Indian pharma industry, 5th in the US generics market via prescriptions, and has been in the forefront of fighting the COVID-19 virus by introducing one of the cheapest versions of remdesivir in the market, being leading manufacturers of drugs such as dexamethasone and hydroxychloroquine, and also responsible for making a homegrown COVID-19 vaccine. However, while they have many feathers in their hat, challenges include the offtake of the COVID-19 vaccine and the long gestation and investments required to become an innovative company whilst battling challenges such as a growing competition in the US. I'm talking about none other than Cadila Healthcare, which is now known as Zydus Life Sciences. We have with us today Sharvil Patel to discuss what the new name signifies for the company, their plans to be defined as a global life sciences company with a focus on innovation, and of course their bread and butter generics business.
Good afternoon, Ekta.
Well, Sharvil, you know, let's start with the name change itself. Zydus Life Sciences is now the new name for Cadila Healthcare. It's a change which has come about after almost 3 decades. Can you just explain the rationale behind it?
Yes, so I think it's, you know, for any organization in their journey, I think there are defining moments that bring about change in the organization. So, you know, we have a legacy of more than 27 years at Cadila Healthcare. And, you know, our mission and vision has always been that we would want to be a research-based pharmaceutical company. And I think what we have been able to do over the last 10 to 15 years is to create a platform and pipeline to be able to achieve some of this. What is going to be very important for us now is how do we build in more patient centricity and bring in more solutions for the unmet medical needs that exist today in the world, and be a differentiated company in the league of companies that are doing R&D and innovation. So I think it was the right time for the organization to pivot, a right time that while we worry about access and affordability and be true to that part of our philosophy, we also are able to do path-breaking discoveries. And we look at, more importantly, just not being a medicine producer, but being a provider of solutions, a provider of health outcomes. So I think we have a larger vision as an organization now, where just from being able to produce medicines and supply medicines, we want to move towards better care, better management of diseases, and then which would potentially lead to better outcomes. And that's how we then coined Zydus Life Sciences, because it's more encompassing what we want to do. And we brought in a new logo. We brought in the heart there, which is something that we very strongly believe in, patient connect and the patient centricity that we want to do. And we brought in the two colors, one depicting innovation and the other depicting care, in terms of how our logo got designed.
Does this also mean it's a leadership change and there's a change in guard which has taken place permanently at Zydus Life Sciences? Mr. Pankaj Patel has probably taken a back seat and now it's you which is heading the company?
So I think the business and the company is not driven by any individual. So even in our organizations, ever since we have been incorporated as Zydus or Cadila Healthcare, our mission always and the vision always stated that by the year 2020, we will be a research-based pharmaceutical company. So I think it is not anything specific to any change of guard. I think this philosophy is been there in the organization all the way from our chairman, who has been at the forefront of leading it. And obviously now the next generation of team at Zydus, at the research center, at the clinical centers, all are leading that same vision and mission. So I don't think there has been any change, but I think the time has come where we can definitely now bring this innovation to market and make it successful.
Can you just give us a sense in terms of how exactly Saroglitazar is doing in the Indian market for you, as well as Desidusat, which is expected to have hit the markets?
Yeah, so Saroglitazar, we had the first indication of, diabetes dyslipidemia, and the drug has done extremely well and actually outperformed with bringing down triglycerides and other important levels in the first 2 to 3 months. So I think the short-term use of the drug has been very good. Later, we were able to do a large trial on NAFL, and now we have an approval for this drug for liver disorder, a disease where generally people understand it as fatty liver disease. So this will be the first drug approved for this particular indication. And we're seeing very, very good traction for this in treating this this disease. And we are also hopeful that this will not only stop the progression of liver fibrosis, but also hopefully reduce reduce the effect of it, and more importantly, be able to stop the further progression of this. So that's one big achievement, and we have now almost more than 1 million patients who have been treated with this drug. So it's an extremely safe and efficacious drug. And with these new indications that we have, we believe that this is going to pivot to being one of the top molecules for the organization in India and obviously globally as well. We are amongst the league of few companies who are doing some work here. In the US, we have two trials going on, one for an orphan disease known as PBC, and one for NASH. We have again got orphan designation both in Europe and US for this saroglitazar molecule for PBC, and also potentially a fast track designation also for this drug. So it is a new discovery. It is very innovative. It is disruptive. And we hope that we are successful in bringing this drug to the global market as we have done so in India.
Okay.
Same if I now talk about desidustat, it's an oral treatment for chronic anemia for patients who have CKD. Today all the alternatives are injectables. And we have brought in a treatment line, which is an oral drug. So again, it is innovative and path-breaking. And we have just launched the drug at a very affordable price. And we believe that this would become very, very successful as we build towards a more importantly renal care provider in India. We are one of the largest sure. companies by market share in this area, in the nephro segment, and we hope to build on to that.
Okay, but this entire orphan drug portfolio, which you seem to be now building, because there is another drug which you just acquired, which is for a very rare pediatric condition. What is it that you have in terms of a focus when it comes to orphan drugs? And is it a focus towards building your specialty portfolio in the US?
So yes, Ekta, I think we have stated that we want to build a specialty business in the US. The path that we are taking is to take a path which is related to more of the neglected diseases or orphan diseases, which have been so far untreated and underdiagnosed. So our first two molecules, one for Menkes and one for, as I said, the molybdenum deficiency molecule, both are targeted towards newborns. We are working all the way from screening, pre-screening, to make sure we are diagnosing early on these young patients, to treating them. And many of these treatments are lifelong. And we have seen very, very good data, both for both the drugs with our phase 3 trials, where we have seen life expectancy significantly going up. So I think beyond just obviously becoming a niche area for us, I think this will create an impact for the company. Because whatever we have been thinking of is that when we want to do research, when we want to do something new, then we also have to look at impact. And I think we can also work on very large indications like we're doing for NASH, but we also want to work on some of these areas which are very exciting for us, and which can create a longer impact in terms of outcomes that we hope to deliver from a company of our size and scale.
Okay.
Similarly, we have a molecule in malaria, which has entered now phase 2. And that also could be a path-breaking discovery if we see good data coming forward. And it is potentially possible that it can treat even all the resistant strains of malaria, again, an oral drug. We have another molecule, ZYIL1, which is an NLRP3 molecule, sure. again, a tremendous potential in many of the orphan and rare diseases in the nephro area also. So I think these are all exciting things for us. And I think we want to create a differentiated place for us. We want to be more targeted and focused to a particular sub-disease classification and create a niche place for the organization there.
If you could just give us a sense in terms of where the US generics business is when it comes to price pressure, because currently the industry has said that price pressure is anywhere between 7 to 10%. And this is at a time when we are facing an inflationary environment as such. Give us a sense in terms of where the U.S. business is for you. When do we expect competition for Asacol HD, one of your key drugs in the U.S. market? And what is the kind of price pressure you're facing right now, and what do you envisage?
So in U.S., the generic business has always been a cyclical business. And I think that the business needs to be seen in a 3 to 5 year window. And we believe that any good company with very strong portfolio, a good cost position, good backward integration can continue to do very well in the U.S. generics market. It's a very, very large opportunity that exists, and the volumes are very, very large. So it's an opportunity that is worth making an effort on. Specifically at Zydus, the pricing pressures will continue. One has to believe that there will be continuous pricing pressure in the single digits, whether it is high single digit or low single digit, but that will continue. So one has to continuously optimize cost and build efficiencies through larger scale and backward integration. And that's what we are doing at Zydus, both in terms of operational efficiencies as well as in terms of sourcing efficiencies. The second is to have a portfolio, and we believe in the next 18 months, Zydus will have a very good portfolio of generic launches that will help it cross these current $700-800 million range that we are at, and come closer to the $1 billion revenue range that we want to get to. And we believe that once we have a resolution for one of our facilities, as well as more important launches in FY24, we would see that upward trajectory for the U.S. Generics business.
Okay.
For Zydus Life Sciences.
When do you expect the Moraiya plant to probably get re-inspected?
So it's in the waiting. I think, as I have said earlier, that we have submitted all our CAPAs, which are the corrective actions that we had to do post our inspection. And now we are waiting for an audit to be done at the plant. And we have worked very hard to make sure that we are living up to the, obviously, the historical problems, but more importantly, also improving on the current standards of quality that we need to do. And a lot of effort has been made there. And now we are awaiting an inspection, which we hope can happen at least in the coming quarter.
Okay. Well, you know, COVID has been a big driver for you all, Sharvil. But what is growth like ex of the COVID portfolio probably in the next couple of quarters? And what is your sense in terms of growth for the India business as a whole as well? Because you have mentioned you have a couple of key brands such as Sarglitazar, which you are, pursuing in the Indian market. If you could give us a larger guidance on the India business.
Yeah, so we have, I think, done a lot of effort on India in terms of reducing complexity, both in terms of the large portfolio as well as the way we were, way our business units had been formed. So a lot of restructuring has gone through. And at the stage we are at now, with a focus on the top 30 molecules, with the new introductions on the proprietary molecules side, we are poised to at least deliver a strong, better than market growth, and obviously a double digit growth for the India formulations business. And we are very confident of doing so.
Are you already starting to repurpose the plant? The reason I ask is that, COVID vaccinations have not become a priority as they were before. So what is the offtake of Zycov-D at this point in time? Do you think that it's time to repurpose? Are you getting additional orders from the government?
So there are three things, right? First of all, everything is to do with the scale, right? We are not at a scale where we are talking about producing 10 crore or 20 crore doses. We are talking about producing 1 crore doses, which is about a month. That is our peak estimate that we can manufacture, which would mean that we can treat about 30 lakh patients. 30 lakh people can be vaccinated. So it's not a very, very large number that we had ever been planning to do from this facility. And with between the age group of 12 to 18, and then where we already completed a trial and submitted it, and waiting for, we already have a DCGI approval, but waiting for an NTAGI clearance, to a booster dose strategy that has been worked out, where we have to change vaccines from the earlier vaccination to the next vaccine, to potentially then the younger age group of 5 to 12, and more importantly, also the export market. I think for the scale and size that what we manufacture at, while we have been delayed by at least 6 months, we still believe that there is enough room for us to be able to, make vaccine available, which is still not a very large quantity of only about 80 lakh to 1 crore doses a month.
You also have a tie-up with a South Korean company, plus you have a tie-up with Shilpa Medicare. Do those tie-ups stand as per, what was decided earlier?
Yeah, so for Shilpa, they have already started taking those validation batches and we'll be applying for regulatory approvals for that. So that will be the additional capacity that will come in. And with the NZKM in South Korea, actually they are, pushing for quick tech transfer, which is happening now, and also manufacturing of the vaccine for that market. So that relationship is still continuing.
Okay. Are you exploring the export market?
I think one thing, Ekta, which is important to see on the platforms, these are recombinant DNA platforms. And at least on the DNA platform, we are very sure to say that these are extremely safe platforms for multi-dosing. Also, these are new technologies where, at least for this platform, we are using a needle-free application where I think this hesitancy that sometimes exists will be taken away for many of the certain types of people. And more importantly, with the virus that is changing so fast, this is one of the technologies that is a plug-and-play technology where you can quickly adapt to the strain. So we have actually adapted to up to now the Omicron strain as well recently. And so I think all of those things put together, I think this is not a business that's going to end over a period of this year. There will be some kind of vaccination programs that will continue for COVID because this is an endemic and it's not going to go away. So like the flu vaccines that are there for treating flu, I also believe that somewhere or the other, this will continue. And there you need a vaccine that can be taken multiple times without any safety issues. And we believe that this platform definitely will provide that advantage.
Okay.
So we are still working on the long term for it. We are still believe there is an opportunity to create this platform into a multivariant vaccine platform. And we are working in that area.
What about your two-dose vaccine?
The trial is over and it's submitted now. So we will go through the regulatory scrutiny and we are confident that we'll get we're confident about the data that has been submitted.
Okay. I just want to ask you about a larger capital allocation plan before we end this conversation, Sharvil, because, at one end, there is your animal health business, which you've sold, and now you want to focus on innovation. But at some point in time, you spent over 4,000 crores in terms of buying the Heinz India business as well. So if we have to talk about, Zydus Life Sciences plan when it comes to capital allocation per se, what can we expect? How much is probably going to go towards R&D? Are you looking at acquisitions? How much are you probably going to spend in terms of vaccines or building up your biologics business going forward?
So in terms of our capital allocation, one thing are, as I spoke to you earlier, because we have created this all this infrastructure capabilities in-house, we are able to manage multiple programs. So I think we would, if I look at going forward on the generics program, I think we will not see any significant growth in terms of further R&D investment. So the R&D investments would mostly be in the higher side now, and they will not further grow. We would see more investments on the clinical side when it comes to our new chemical entities like Saroglitazar, which has entered phase 2B and 3, and other molecules that we are doing. But so that is going to be spread over the next 3 to 4 years. And we still believe that around we will be spending around 8% of our revenue as R&D expenditure. So that's our current target and current projections that we are talking about. So that's where we will be using that capacity. And then we already have capacities on vaccines and others that we are building and built for. So that will continue over the next 4 to 5 years.
Okay. All right, Sharvil. We're going to wrap up on this conversation. But thank you very much for joining in and talking to us on The Medicine Box. Thanks very much.